Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've been saying for several weeks now, this is a special year to commemorate God's grace to us as we celebrate our history and our gospel heritage. As many of you know, this is the 500th anniversary of the event that sparked the Reformation. But today we have the opportunity to celebrate another important milestone within our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have the opportunity to give thanks to God for His work through the faithful women who have participated in the Lutheran Women's Missionary League for 75 years. For 75 years, the LWML has existed to carry out its mission. I'd like to share it with you this morning. It's on the next slide. Thank you. The mission is to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. And women in congregations and chapters have carried out that calling by meeting together, by training up one another as Christian leaders, by growing together in God's Word, by partnering with missionaries, by gathering clothing and blankets for those in need, by feeding the hungry, and by raising literally millions of dollars for mission efforts and mercy efforts around the world. Talk about a Holy Spirit-inspired force for good. And I believe that such efforts flow out of our good news theology. Because at its heart, the gospel gives us a new identity and a new way to live. It is by no means second-class citizenship for anyone. It's a glorious calling. It's a glorious identity. Allow me to share it with you. We see it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. St. Peter writes these words, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You see, by the grace of God, we are a special people. We are God's people, a holy nation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And it's all because of grace. It's all because of what God has done for us in Jesus. And this special people of God, men, women, children, were not created and redeemed just to exist. We're saved to proclaim, to confess the amazing love of God that has made us what we are, that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We've been saved. We've been set free. We have been brought into the light, in other words, to confess Jesus. Because you see, our lives are going to bear witness to something or to someone. So let's make it Jesus. Now, at one level, most of us believe that confessing Jesus in our lives, confessing faith in Him, is an important part of what we are to do, and yet fear or distraction can get in the way of that. And yet I believe that sometimes we fail to recognize that our lives are always confessing something, pointing to the worth or importance of something, expressing our belief in something. We can't escape it. For example, on Sundays throughout the fall, for many people, the confession, so to speak, of faith is that the Green Bay Packers are an important part of our lives and our community. For some, the proclamation we speak to the world through our actions and our a way of dressing and preparing ourselves is that appearance is very important. Either a put-together appearance, or perhaps for the more trendy among us, the more hipster among us, a not-so-put-together appearance. Either way, we are communicating something. We're confessing something, so to speak. If you're a parent What is the confession that you are making to your children on a daily basis? Is the confession that whatever is going on via your smartphone is more important than what they have to say? Is your confession that amusement and entertainment feeds the soul better than the living and active Word of God? Is your confession that worship is something that is important for us to do as a family, as long as we don't have something better to do, like a sports tournament or a vacation or sleeping in? By the way, I'm preaching to myself here too. If you're a worker, if you have a vocation in the private sector, public sector, whatever it may be, what is the confession of faith that people around you are hearing from you on a daily basis? Are they seeing and hearing from you that your confession is that integrity matters? That the work you've been given to do is worth giving a good effort because it is actually a calling from God? Does your life confess trust in God? Or does it confess a lack of trust in God communicated by your insecurity and the need to get ahead and to look out for yourself first? If you're a spouse or someone who has been called into any kind of relationship that requires you to love someone else, does your life confess the great and self-giving love of God for you? Or does it confess through words and actions that you come first? You see, our lives are constantly making confession of something, proclaiming something to be true. Not only that, but confessions of faith happen all around us all the time. In fact, I would argue that marketing is really nothing other than confessing something that you believe to be true or important. In 30 seconds, Swiffer can make a confession that your life will be easier if you clean up life's messes with their mops. Car companies constantly make confession of their belief that if you drive their vehicle, your life will be set free for adventure. If you watch a commercial by Apple, they will make their confession seemingly unfounded that if you wear one of their watches, the whole world around you will start dancing in synchronization. We simply can't get away from confession. We all do it. The world around us does it as well. So what the world needs, what your friends and your family need, and what we have been redeemed for in the midst of all this noise is a confession of the greatness and the love of Jesus. Because while we all might be confessing something at any given time, not all confessions reflect the truth. Not all confessions offer and give real life and freedom to those who would believe them. Ours does. Ours does. And so we're called to confess. We're called to give our confession of Jesus with all the power and the wisdom and the love that God supplies. St. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, "Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." So reprove, show it to be true. Rebuke, you know, correct falsehood. Exhort, encourage people with great patience and instruction. Preach the word all the time. And then Paul goes on to perfectly diagnose us and the culture around us of the reality in which we make our confession by saying that people aren't going to really care often what we have to say. The time is coming, he says, when people are going to gather for themselves the teachers that they want to listen to. Does that sound anything like today? I think of my own habits. You know, what do I read? What do I listen to? Well, I go primarily to those sources I already agree with, and maybe you do the same thing. All right, and that's something that perhaps I have to work better at, maybe you do as well. But it's actually a reflection of what St. Paul says is going to be the reality, that the day is coming when people won't necessarily be searching out the truth, they'll be searching out what they want to hear. Does that make confessing Jesus easier or harder? Probably harder. But is it still worthwhile? Here's the thing. In this world in which all paths seem to be marked as true, in a world in which we all confess something, the world still needs to hear the truth. The one who is the way, the truth, the life. They still need Jesus. And so we must confess Jesus. We will proclaim Jesus with words and actions that He is the way, the truth, and the life. We will proclaim with words and with lives of love that He brings the forgiveness and the acceptance that every person so desperately needs. We will confess through our priorities to our children and our loved ones that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word that we hear in a place like this and even taste with our mouths at a meal like this. And as we confess, by the power of the Spirit, God will accomplish His work through us. Think of the work of, for example, a godly mother or a godly grandmother. We hear Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Timothy is a leader in the church. He's a pastor. He's well respected. And yet, how did Timothy come to faith? Well, we find out in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you read that later today, you're going to find Paul say, I rejoice in the faith that lives in you, Timothy. A faith that first lived, guess what? In your mom. And in your grandma. Why is Timothy a believer? Why is Timothy a leader in the church? In large part, it's because mom and grandma taught him about Jesus. Does your influence as a mom, as a dad, as a grandpa, as a grandma, does that make any difference? The answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. The reason I stand in front of you right now as the pastor of this congregation, in large part, it's because Dave and Julie Bay taught me about Jesus when I was growing up in their house alongside my siblings. Because I had some Lutheran school teachers who reinforced that faith. Because I had grandparents who reinforced that faith. The calling that starts at home is such a vital calling. It is the primary way in which the faith is passed from one generation to the next. God uses your little moments of confession in your homes, and He works them for His glory and for the good of people who need to know the freedom that comes from good news. And at the heart of our confession, that's really what it is. It's good news. It's good news. Good news of one who came to confess His faithfulness and His love to us. We see it, for example, when He steps into the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Jesus was perfect. He was the Lamb of God. He had no need of repentance, and yet He steps into the water with all these dirty people who are repenting their sins. Why? Because He's confessing that He is with us. He's identifying with us, with sinners like you and me. And then He continues His ministry, and He eats with the outcasts, and He heals the sick. And by those actions, He confesses with His life that He is a God who is meant to be with us, to restore and to heal what has been broken. As He stands up to the religious leaders of His day, He confesses that the Word of God, that Word that ultimately points to Him, trumps the traditions of men. And as He stood before Pontius Pilate, He confessed with both His words and with His unwillingness to defend Himself that He was a king like none other, and that His kingdom does not find its source in this world. And then, at the cross, Jesus confessed with His words and with His shed blood that we have a God who will do absolutely anything, absolutely anything, whatever it takes, to demonstrate His love and to make a way for sinners to be made right with Him again. And on the day that He returns, He will be pleased to confess once more your name before His Father. He will be pleased to confess that we belong to him. Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 10, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess him, her, before my Father who is in heaven. The crucified and risen Savior loves to proclaim his love for his bride, the church, and you and I are members of his church. He says, I love you. I've claimed you. I am pleased to speak your name before my Father in heaven. I love to confess you. And in response to his great love for us, the bride is inspired. You and I are inspired to say, yes, Lord Jesus, thank you. And I will confess you before men. I will confess your great love for me. I will confess your great faithfulness. I will confess the way that you have proclaimed of me, you are mine. And as we do so, others come to know of the great love of this Savior. Others come to be set free in his name as well. So my prayer is that we, his bride, the church, will always be ready, ready to confess Jesus to the glory of his name in this life and to our great joy forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, who is pleased to confess us before his Father. Amen.